I have been focusing on faith. God's power through man. Faith, God's power through man. And we've went through each phase of faith, of how God can work through us through all kinds of trouble. This morning I want to include the final two parts, which is, what do you do when you're looking at your life and you've reached a dead end? You see no hope. You see no way out. You know that, look, here I am in the ditch of life, right down in the bottom. Half the time there's a bottle down there too, but right down in that ditch of life, what am I going to do? I see no hope. I've reached dead end. Well, you see, Jesus is the hope. He is the hope of the world. He's the hope of the church. And let me tell you, my friends, if the Christian church does not start acting Christian again, there will be no hope for America. You and I must stand up for the freedom and for the love that God has given us. Because you see, our nation is reaching dead end. Not just the folks, our nation, everyone, not just the church. We've reached a dead end. What do? We do what we were supposed to do to begin with, depend on Jesus and allow the faith in Him to give us the power to stand strong in this day and age. Christians are falling away. Christians no longer standing up for Christ. Christians backing up and allowing the world to come into the church. Folks, the time has come to either stand up and be counted or watch a nation collapse in front of us. As you can tell, I've got quite a burden on my heart. And the more I witness good men being destroyed because they've told the truth, good women coming forward to tell about corruption and their whole careers destroyed, babies by the millions, still in the womb of their mothers, being ripped out and slaughtered. And we sit back and say, well, that's just the way the world is. Well, that's not the way the world ought to be. It ought to be to where you and I, as Christians, have the holy boldness to stand up. Holy boldness does not mean you're not afraid. Holy boldness does not mean that you don't know where the next word's coming from. Holy boldness means that you stand up and you know where the word's coming from, because God's going to give it to you because you have faith that He will. Get back to the basics. You know what the basics are? The foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. The one who fought all hell so you and I wouldn't have to. See, if I have the faith in my Savior, then my Savior will allow His power to work through me. Will I be locked up for it? Probably. I'm a prison chaplain. I've been locked up more than most convicted felons. So think of it. Standing up for the truth of God in America is no longer acceptable. For me to preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven is a hate speech. For me to say, no, we will not allow the Boy Scouts to meet in Vine Grove Baptist Church any longer, or the Girl Scouts, because they have turned away from the beginning founding of both, and both accept the world and reject Christ. So why would they be allowed in the church? Does it not belong to God? Is not this building dedicated to God? Is not all the land around it dedicated to God? Is not every heart that sits within it dedicated to God? then if I am dedicated to God, then by the power of God, when I see my nation reaching the dead end, I must speak up the same way that I have for years when I see individuals give up on life. I see no hope. You see no hope because you're not looking at hope. Jesus is our hope. I read the book. He wins. We do too. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, he said, Larry, I'm bringing you home with me. Now, at the point that I will go home with God, that's his business, not mine. But I'm excited. I'm excited to stay in here preaching. I'm excited about working for God right here on planet Earth. But I must tell you, I'm more excited. You know, you got to watch it when you think you're a little disappointed because they've cured the cancer in you. I'd rather go on home. You know what that is a lot of times on Christians? We're tired. We just don't want to stand up anymore. And if the pastors don't stand up, how are the congregations going to know to stand up? You and I have a great obligation. That obligation's to one another. That obligation is to those individuals that have gone on before us to carry on the truth of God. Phase 5, dead end. Here's what I want you to do when you reach dead end, and the nation must do. Remember what God can do. You get me at the bottom, right at the dead end of my life. I've been there. I know you're hurt. I know your pain. And I also know that your hurt and your pain's different from what mine was, but I know you have it. And you hit that dead end. How can I see hope? Remember what God can do. Romans 4:17. Abraham believed in God who gives life to the dead and who creates something out of nothing. Now you do know that only God can create. We talk about people and their creation of building. Only God can create. God is the only one that creates from nothing. You and I can put stuff together and say we created something. But God does it from nothing. And he's the only one who can. God took you and took me from nothing. And he allowed the human race to come, one man, one woman, nowhere in Scripture where you see two men, two women, and call it a family. It hurts me that it hurts people when I say that. But folks, is it not the truth that has kept us free? Is it not the truth of the Word of God that has kept God's blessings in hand upon the United States of America? You and I are witnessing a time when we could see churches closing simply because of a police state in the United States of America, and they don't like what Christians are saying. If they dare, I tell you this. They will answer to a living God. But it's happening. You and I are seeing freedom eroded in our nation. We're standing back. We've stood back long enough. Luke 18:27. What is impossible with men is possible with God. You know, I hope the NSA is recording this. And because I think they need to hear the message. I live in Elizabethtown. I pastor in Vine Grove, Poduck, Kentucky. Don't you all get mad at me over that one. I'm a country boy called by God to preach his word. Every one of us that's ever fought in a war, in 1966, in Chu Lai, Vietnam, I witnessed the death of many friends. I came home as a Marine. to individuals that were spitting on us, not allowed to wear my uniform on a plane flying home because of the controversy. You wear that uniform and you wear it with pride. And if they hit you with the controversy of life, brush it off and say, God loves you. But sometimes you just got to protect yourself and protect your family. Dead end, number two, rely on what God has said. Rely on what God can do. I know what God can do. Good gracious, he called me to preach. He can do anything with any personality. Rely on what God has said. Romans 4:18. When hope was dead within him, Abraham went on hoping in faith. You see, I have faith that God is still looking at a nation that he allowed to be formed, and his hand and his men and his women that have kept it strong and free all these years. Almost feel like it's already June the 30th. Celebration. You better believe I celebrate America. You better believe that I celebrate the freedom that we have by honoring everyone that has given their life for that freedom. You better believe that your pastor will stand up and tell any politician, if they don't have the holy boldness to stand up to the hirelings that we put in Washington, D.C., then sit down and shut up. It is time that we as Christians speak out. Let your pastor take the hit. All you all need to do is, they won't let you bring a cake to jail any longer, but you can pray for me. When hope was dead within Abraham, Abraham went on hoping in faith. Do you ever think about that? Hope is dead, but Abraham said, Lord, you said it, I believe it. He relied on the word of God. What has happened in our churches? Oh, here's your new stat. Dr. Phipps, Lawrence Phipps, good friend of mine out of Alabama. You all hear me talk about him all the time. Talked to me the other day and let me know. I said, Larry, you want to hear a stat about the Baptist? I said, sure. He said, we get excited and people will read to where 4,000 churches we plant per year. 4,000. He said, you know the only problem with that? 7,000 close each year. Why? Is it not because that we have lost hope in God to the point that we refuse to preach the gospel? We had rather stand up and read poetry or stand up and quote a good book other than the holy word of God itself? Could it be that Christians have given up all hope that Christian leaders will stand strong and true to the word of God? We will have no nation until the men of God, women of God, stand up and quote the word of God. That power in that word. God's power through faith. Hebrews 11:17. While God was testing him, Abraham still trusted in God and his promises. So he offered his son Isaac. Abraham, the father of the nation, offered his son Isaac on an altar. Now, why would God use that kind of testing? Why would he say that to Abraham? Abraham came from idolatry. He was raised in idolatry. His parents were idolaters. And then he gets what you and I call saved. God sets him apart. Why? Because he believed God. So he knew about idolatry. And in all, Malak especially, in all idolatry, it was to worship or sacrifice of your children. And when he was ready to sacrifice his child to God, God said, stop it, Abraham. You see, it wasn't going to be Isaac that was sacrificed. It was the Son of God. Jesus is coming, Abraham. Remind the nation that I'm sending my only begotten Son. The whole Bible, Old and New Testament, my friend, is the word of the living God, and it does tell us that Jesus was coming, and I'm here to tell you he's coming again. And it's time for Christians to get excited about it. Every time Jesus even walked on earth prior to the New Testament, here he is in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here he is in a lion's den. Do you not believe truly the one that we saw who came and gave his all on that cross will not come today and save us from the lion's den? He came for salvation. I accepted him as my Savior. I am saved. And God, have mercy on the ones who come at me because of my salvation, because their battle is with God, not me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And God said so. Muhammad won't get it. Buddha's too fat to get it. All of this other just isn't going to get it. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And the church backs off because we don't want to offend. Did anybody ever stop to think about God's feelings? Did anybody ever stop to think that when you mock Jesus and urinate on his statues and do all this vile stuff to Jesus and to the church, do you not understand, folks? You and I are in the only relationship, a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you and I are not going to go out and kill anybody for doing that. Because they didn't do it on Jesus. They believe in idols. Break them all. You tear down the church, we'll still worship. But listen to me. Our children need to see some strength and leadership from parents. In all of your correction that you do with your children, would you not correct them, please, and direct them straight to the Word of God so the proper correction will be there? Do your children know when you go home that you're a Christian during the week? Do they see that attitude? Number three, face the facts with faith. That's all I can do as your pastor. It's all you can do in our nation today. What's the facts? We're losing America that you and I know. What's the fact? Everyone who stands up, like me or any of the others. And I'm a nobody. But this nobody understands something. I may be nobody to the world, but I'm somebody to the Creator of it. I believe his Son died on the cross, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that. I know that, and I must preach that. And God says, face the facts of life, Larry, with faith. What does that mean? Don't face the facts of life in what I have in faith, but my faith in who Jesus is in that process. Ever since God called me to preach, somebody's been trying to stop me. When God called me to the chaplaincy, it was a whole group of many Baptists that come forward and telling all manner of evil about me that wasn't true. I would have told them some good stuff on me as a Marine, and they could have used the truth. But no, they decided to stop me with something that's so out of focus. Even let them know that I'd been married two or three times. Faye didn't know that. I didn't know that. But you know why? Now, Chaplain Vance, let me tell you something. You allow it to be all Baptists and keep the other denominations out, and we'll support you financially. You'll have all you need. And I told them they could keep their money. And do you know, to this day, I have 286 active volunteers at Hardin County Detention Center. You can count probably on four hands my own denomination that's involved in it. You all can't get involved because of me, but my own denomination. All the rest that support it are those, think of it, those who didn't have the name Baptist. It's not in the denomination, my friends. It's in the Christ. Do you and I not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Many people call themselves something, Presbyterian, Catholic, Baptist, or all of the others. But without that relationship with Jesus Christ, there cannot be Christianity. It's not in the religious denomination. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. We got to get this right. No wonder our nation is sinking fast. No wonder we see a dead end coming. Stand up and be counted, because God is looking. Why do you think that the scripture tells us that during the judgment period when the Lord comes, do you know what it says he's going to do? He's walking down the church aisle, and judgment begins at the house of God. Whew. Judgment begins at the house of God. He's going to come down, and he's not going to listen to how well we sing. He's not going to listen to how well we can put out a good line about being a Christian. He's going to look at the heart. And when he looks at the heart, is he going to see a relationship with his son? Or is he going to see hardness as we're watching in our own nation? Oh, you just got to hold it down a little, Brother Vance. I have no intention in holding down the Holy Spirit when he calls me to preach, but I am more than willing to go to jail for it. You and I are Christians. Let's stand like Christians. Romans 4:19 through the first part of verse 20. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. I got a 99-year-old mother. And she's, you know, talking to me and doing all of her things. She lives by herself. She does all of this. I should never have said that, because when you go there, you will see there's a police car sitting right there in her driveway all the time for protection. Do you all know what's going on in our nation? Are you looking at the home invasions that are taking place, and our elderly are afraid to walk out in the yard in the United States of America for fear somebody's going to stop and mug them, rob them right in their own home, and we say everything is okay? Well, it's not okay. We lived in a nation that was given to us, a nation you and I did not earn. It was a gift from God to people who said they wanted to be free. We get the freedom. And now we've decided, let's go back and make brick for Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh will feed us. Pharaoh will give us all of this other stuff. And Pharaoh, well, Mr. Pharaoh of our day, will act just like the Pharaohs of old. He will take, take, and take. And when he's through with you, you'll have nothing. And he'll do away with you. Fact. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And Sarah's womb was also dead. Sarah was 90 and he was 99 at that time. Pretty good chance that he thought that way. Because God had just told him he's going to have a son, him and Sarah. He didn't waver with unbelief. You know what he did? He trusted God. He believed. He had faith. He didn't understand it. I don't understand faith. That's why that I must have faith in the Christ who is my understanding of faith. And he will do it, not me. I heard from within very deep, and you all can tell that. But I hurt so deep for those who have nobody to stand up for them. I've dealt with the poor and the downtrodden ever since God called me to the ministry. I know what it's like to be down in that ditch of life with people who see no hope and to try to keep them from taking their own life. I've lived in a world where I would see children that were abused, and because there was no place for them that was even safe, the state said they're better off in their own home. Sent back, sent back, sent back. I also have witnessed those at the dead end who accepted Jesus Christ and their whole life changed. They get together and there's a difference. It is that difference that will change America again. What a life. What a Savior. Romans 14:19-28, again. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he didn't waver with unbelief. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Listen to Paul. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, my friends, I do not look for retirement on planet Earth. I do not have time to retire. If I did, God would have let me come home with the Agent Orange poisoning and the cancer 3 years ago. I don't have time for that foolishness. There's a battle that you and I as Christians must be standing strong and firm in, and that battle is the truth. And that truth is through Jesus Christ. Let's get with it. Let's get excited over who our Savior is. Not over all the mistakes that we've made. Oh, but Brother Larry, I can't. You know, I'm just so vile. Well, welcome to the crowd. Do you realize there's nobody perfect and Jesus was the only one? You realize that? Do you really think, well, you know, in this Christian walk, I'm going to walk perfectly? People tell me, how do I live the Christian life? And I said, listen to Jesus, because I sure can't tell you. You know why? Jesus said, Larry, you point them to me because you have a certain personality. I've been told that a whole lot. You have a personality that I'm going to use in this way. Each one of them have different personalities. Point them to me. I can't tell them what to do. Don't want to. It's all I can do to handle what's going on inside of me. But I can preach the truth like God called me to. Here's the last phase of that faith, deliverance. I love that phase. I go to the dead end and then I'm delivered from the dead end. Expect God to deliver you. I do not count on my deliverance being from a government. I watch men die on television in Benghazi. I'm going to read you a poem a Marine wrote concerning that. As I said, on the 30th, I'll change a couple of words. But it's a poem of how those who were ready to go in, those who wanted to go there and to help them, were told, stand down. And now do you know what's going on today? Stand down, preacher. You back off of Jesus is the only way to heaven, because that's offensive. And when we find you too offensive, you will be stopped from preaching. No, I won't. As I said, I preached in prison for over 30 years. I got enough sense to know that if I'm locked in solitary, I can preach to the wall. I learned that from preaching in churches. Think of it. You and I, truly being the Christian God has called us to be. I do not want to ever embarrass a congregation. But to me, To back off from the truth is an embarrassment to God. And it's an embarrassment for my family. As you all know, my son is a police officer. Are you seeing what's going on today? They're being trapped and slaughtered in Bardstown. Now we've got another one that was shot at in another county in our state. What's going on? Do you know why the police all gather together and you've got so many of them there when a police officer is shot or killed or shot at? You think, oh, they've got all that. No, folks. Because the mindset that'll try to kill a policeman will not hesitate to wipe out your whole family. And they've got to get him off the street. They have to find him. Think of what's going on in our nation. Well, you know, we just got to be careful. Because if we don't watch it, you and I will start looking at individuals and we will say, I'm sorry, but I got a profile. I'm not sorry. If I know the bad prisoners that I dealt with over the years, I knew how to act when I went in there. I profiled. When somebody come in my office that was dealing it, and you know, I wasn't that popular with a lot of staff, but the inmates loved me. But it was the idea of this. I profiled. Well, now you shouldn't do that, Brother Vance. Well, that's strange. How come this group that call themselves Baptists that protest every funeral and all of this of Americans and mock them? How come they're always ready to say they're Baptist? That's profiling. It don't happen in this church. Okay, Romans 4, 20, 21. But Abraham never doubted. Now, doesn't mean he didn't doubt. He was too old. 99 just is not, it's not really in your mind that you're going to have relations with your wife. At 90. I've been around them. It just is not in their mind. But Abraham never doubted. He praised God for this blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was able to do anything he promised. Now listen to Apostle Paul again, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. And Paul is speaking of it. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us. He will deliver us. And we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. I am a servant of the living God, called by God to preach. And even though so many say, I can't understand why he called you, you can't come close as I can't understand why he did. But I'll tell you this, he did. And I know his power. I've seen it. Stabbed 4 times. I've seen his power. I've seen his deliverance from some of the hardest core criminals in a penitentiary. I've witnessed it from an official having a shotgun pointed at me, threatening that he could kill me before I walked out the door. You know what I said? That was in Etown. I said, I almost called his name. I said, you pull that trigger, and God will make that whole thing blow up in your face. And he looked down. And when he looked down, I was smart enough to hit the door. Don't tempt God. When he looked down, I walked out. If a sawed-off shotgun had been taken from a criminal. Think of it. If God called me to fight corruption, why would he not call me to fight the corruption within churches or within the gospel of Jesus Christ? You and I have no right to corrupt the gospel. You and I have no right not to stand for what is right. There are 3 kinds of deliverance. Then I'm through. I think. First deliverance is circumstantial. That means God is going to alter the circumstances. That's a deliverance. He alters the circumstances. Second, it's personal. God changes you. Oh, Lord, wait a minute. I'm fine. Everybody else, one is wrong. Change them. Lord, it's not me, it's my husband. Personal. God changes you. And then the ultimate deliverance, God calls us to heaven. Folks, I'm a winner any way it goes. You're a winner any way it goes. Because you have faith in the living God, let God handle it. Let God handle the mess in your life. Would you quit trying to keep handling it yourself? You can't straighten it out. Well, I've been working on this for 20 years. Pretty good sign you don't know what you're doing. If it isn't straight after 20 years, let God do it. Wake up, church. Wake up, America. But I got news for you. We will be delivered. God will deliver us, and He will deliver this nation back to the roots of God and love in whence it was given. He will deliver it. When? If my people who are called by my name. Woo! We are the people. We should stand up and act like God's children. Because the world has decided it's the end. You know, the church age, it's an end to it. Let's just go in and saturate each church. They'll love a little part of each world. And by doing that, pretty soon, the Bible, the Holy Word of God, will no longer be preached because it's an offensive book. Do you know that that's the reason I don't like censorship in any way, shape, or fashion? Because if they ever get to that kind of censorship, the Bible is the most vulgar and bloody book that's ever written, most vile in all ways. You know why? It's the truth. It's the truth. And here's your great truth. We will be delivered. And end of the deliverance, it'll be God that does it through faith in Jesus Christ. And we can witness it if we truly act like Christians and truly love our Lord like He's called us. And you know, it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for love. We thank You for life. But Father, we thank You that You truly are in control. All the times, dear Lord God, that we think we've done something, we realize, Father, that the only thing we've ever done is to mess up. So we turn it over to You, Father, asking for Your direction, asking for Your love, asking for Your deliverance. Help us to truly stand up. Yes, Lord, we need to stand up in Your love. But we also realize that Your love is a stern love. Your love demands that we stand strong in Your truth. That's true love. Help us to do that so the world can hear the truth. And hearing the truth, the world will turn back to Christ. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.